You can find more of Tammy Bobrowski's What We're Reading Conversations at KAXC.org. What have you been reading? You can text us 218-326-1234.
Our thanks goes out to Escape by the Lake on Paul Bunyan Drive in Bemidji, offering immersive themed experiences where teams work together to solve puzzles and find clues to escape within the hour. Learn more about the different themed rooms available at escapebythelake.com.
And support comes from Dale's Auto Body, serving the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984, performing auto body and collision repair as well as auto glass replacement, dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident. More information at dalesautobodyinc.com.
You're listening to 91.7 KAXC Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXC Bagley Bemidji. We are a northern community radio telling the stories of the people and land in northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events, operating translator K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. You can listen at KAXC.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. You can text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. We'll have more ahead from the KAXC Morning Show. And at 9 o'clock, Headwaters, Heather Johnson, your host this morning.
And she's looking for some songs with yodeling in them. So if
yes.
you have any recommendations there, she's putting together a little set of music. So
yep, request line. That'll be at about 10:30. Love to hear from you. Text 218-326-1234. Right now, we continue with Morning Edition from National Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. In the hill country of Central Texas, authorities say the number of people now confirmed dead following the devastating 4th of July flooding now tops 80. With search and rescue operations ongoing, people in the area starting the slow recovery process. Houston Public Media's Dominic Anthony Walsh has more.
Residents say they never imagined a disaster like this was possible. Outside Lilia and Joe Herrera's home along the Guadalupe River, a front-end loader lifts their ruined possessions into a dumpster.
I'm watching them throw all my stuff, all my everything. Yeah, my whole house is empty. It's devastating.
Their home flooded with about 2 feet of water, and they don't have flood insurance because they say it's not in a floodplain. Neighbors are coming together to help clean out mud and debris, the first steps on the long road to recovery. I'm Dominic Anthony Walsh in Kerrville, Texas.
There are questions about whether the Trump administration's federal job cuts left a local National Weather Service office understaffed. Texas Democratic Congressman Joaquin Castro is not ready to point a finger, but he says it's worth looking into.
There is a risk that you won't have the personnel to make that, do that analysis, do the predictions in the best way, and it could lead to tragedy. So I don't want to sit here and say conclusively that that was the case, but I do think that it should be investigated, and having, you know, not having enough personnel is never helpful.
Castro speaking to CNN's State of the Union. He represents a Texas congressional district that's under a disaster declaration. President Trump signed a disaster declaration to allow more resources to be sent to Kerr County. And NPR's Deepa Shivaram says he may visit the flood zone later this week.
Trump told reporters that he wanted to, quote, leave a little time so that he wouldn't be in the way of recovery efforts from the flooding, which he called, quote, absolutely horrible. Trump's Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, has already been on the ground. Rains on July 4th caused severe flash flooding in central Texas. Despite flood warnings from the National Weather Service, the severity of the storm was a surprise for many. When asked if the administration was investigating whether recent cuts in the federal government workforce left key vacancies open at the National Weather Service, Trump said, quote, they didn't. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is due at the White House today. He's set to meet with President Trump, who has predicted that an agreement on a 60-day Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal could be reached this week. It's not clear if talks in Qatar last night made any progress. Netanyahu is in Washington as Israeli warplanes targeted Yemen's Houthi rebels today. The Houthis responded with missile fire. You're listening to NPR News. To Australia now, where a jury has found Aaron Patterson guilty of using poisonous mushrooms to kill three relatives of her estranged husband. The jury today also convicted her of the attempted murder of a fourth relative. After a week of deliberation, the jury found Patterson lured the group to her home for lunch, in which she served beef Wellington that contained death cap mushrooms. She faces a maximum life sentence. The United Kingdom is marking 20 years since the 2005 transit bombings in London. More than 50 people were killed. Hundreds were wounded. Memorial services are planned throughout the day. Mexico, the winner of this summer's Gold Cup soccer tournament. Mexico beat the U.S. men's national team 2-1 in last night's final, as NPR's Becky Sullivan reports.
The U.S. struck early in the final with a goal off the head of defender Chris Richards just 3.5 minutes into the game, but Mexico soon tied it at 1, then took the lead late in the second half. It's the sixth time that Mexico has beaten the U.S. in the Gold Cup final. The tournament brings together the national teams from North and Central America every 2 years. This summer, the U.S. was playing with something of a B squad, with many usual starters unavailable due to injury or other conflicts. Their absence allowed others to emerge as new stars, like the bleach blonde 21-year-old Diego Luna and the stoic midfielder Malik Tillman. The next competitive games for the U.S. men's national team will be next year's FIFA World Cup, which will be co-hosted here in the States. Becky Sullivan, NPR News.
At the Women's European Soccer Championship, Norway the first to reach the tournament's quarterfinals. Norway advancing out of the group stage after Switzerland beat Iceland yesterday. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org.
Because
That is Samantha Crane from her latest album, Gumshoe. That one's called Dart, here on the Monday Morning Show on People Powered KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall.
Good morning. I was trying to place that voice. It was like, I know that voice. Mm-hmm. Samantha Crane.
Yeah. So. She's performed a concert for us a few years ago. That was really fun. And I'm really digging her new album.
So. Yeah. And I've discovered her on soundtracks.
Yeah. She was on, she had a song on an episode of Reservation Dogs.
Yep. Yeah. And there was one other kind of indie TV series or whatever that mm-hmm. I was like, Samantha Crane's on this too. But she kind of has that haunting sort of like voice. It's just,
yeah,
it's like perfect. It was just, they've been perfectly placed. So cool. I'll have to check out the rest of the album.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Sarah, we were listening to Tammy Bobrowski's conversation with Kent Nerburn last hour, and we were wondering about what people have been reading. And I know you're always reading a few books, it seems.
Yeah, I have I walk so much now that I have an audiobook that I'm always listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And I can listen to books at twice the speed, to which my best friend has told me that I think you have ADHD of the fact that you can, like, she's like, and you comprehend them? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. So I like them because I can crank through books really fast.
Yeah.
So I have that. And then now this year, I also challenge myself that I'm actually reading at least one paper book. You know, actual, mm-hmm. well, they're Kindle versions too, that I actually am reading
them.
That
you're actually reading with your eyes.
Yes. And that I have to be fine with the pace in which it takes me to read it. So over the weekend, I finished First Time Caller by B.K. Bornson. And it was a predictable kind of rom-commy takes. It has a late night DJ who had a like call-in like love show. Mm. So kind of think Delilah, you mm-hmm. know. So he was kind of jaded on love, and then this woman, Lucy, her daughter had called in and was like, oh, my mom, she is kind of sleepless in Seattle a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was fine. It was the best book I've ever.
Sometimes you just need those light little rom-coms.
Yeah. I'd finished Demon Copperhead.
So very serious.
Very serious. And it was an interesting book. People, that's one of the books that ended up on like the top reads.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times to where I'm like, this is so, it's just so much. Like,
and that was a retelling of David Copperfield. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was a modern interpretation of it, and centers around Demon Copperhead, or Damon was his actual mm-hmm. name. But a kid who, like, the foster system failed him. Mm-hmm. Like, just everything kind of failed this kid, but mm-hmm. He was very determined, and, you know, to kind of, you know, make his way in the world and it takes place in Appalachia, and just the poverty, and then it also was with the rise of the opioid, the mm-hmm. epidemic too, and so I just hard, you know, just hard. Life was hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Again, like, sometimes you need those, you know, to kind of challenge things. But
yeah, and remind us that life is hard, you know, and other people sometimes have it a lot harder than us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. There was a character who was like, no, like, the whole system is set up against us, and was talking about how in their community, everybody kind of took care of themselves. So they were farming, you know, whether it was tobacco or they had crops that they have, of like, if they had extras, they were kind of passing that around and trading. And they're like, no. And then, like, the corporations came in and said that what we were doing is, you know, like, lowbrow, like, this is, and that's why they call us rednecks. And that's why mm-hmm. they try to demean what we're doing, but it's because they can't tax it, you know? And you're like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, you know, language is kind of powerful when you can, you know, change those perceptions of people who are actually being very innovative and taking care of their community. And mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyways, it has still stuck with me. I needed a palate cleanse, and so listened to a First Time Caller. And
yeah.
And that. How about you? What are you digging into?
I am currently probably about three quarters of the way through a book called People of Means by Nancy Johnson. And it goes back and forth between 1960 in 1992, and it's a mother-daughter. So in 1960, the mother is in college in Nashville, but she comes from Chicago, so she's dealing with a very different, more segregated world than what she grew up in. She also had quite a bit of privilege, but she's attending this black college in Nashville and starting to get involved, realizing, you know, I need to get involved in the civil rights movement, so she's doing that. And then the other story is we've got her daughter in 1992 who is working as a professional marketing person in Chicago, but it's right around when the Rodney King verdict was read and the riots that happened following that in Los Angeles. And even though she's in Chicago, she's realizing other, you know, injustices have happened and dealing with that, and then how her mother is reacting to that. And it's, right now, her mother is not very supportive, which is interesting because obviously something has happened to change in the meantime. So it's like trying to connect the dots between the two time periods and seeing where that's going to end up.
Yeah. Well, that's,
so that's where I'm at right now. Okay. And I'm usually just a one book at a time kind of person, and I read just a little bit at night. So it takes me usually a week or so, maybe week and a half to get through a book. So. Okay. Nowhere near the pace of books that you go through.
Yeah, I can usually, like, with it again, because I can listen to things so fast, I can usually do 2 to 3 a week. I also listened to Chelsea Handler's latest book that it was, I'll Have What She's Having was the title of that. And so Chelsea, you know, comedian and longtime, like, late night host, has done a lot of self-work that she's like, I know I wasn't the nicest person. I know I wasn't the best kind of version of myself. And so really went through lots and lots of therapy to kind of be the person that she kind of saw herself as. And it was just really, really interesting. And she's oftentimes seen as this childless kind of selfish woman. But the reality is that those that are in her close orbit and that she really loves and cares for them very deeply. And so she kind of finds it funny that she's like, those that know me know that I'm not, you know, what they're trying to say about me just isn't true. But
yeah,
I don't know. That was pretty good. I have read others, like she had like, Are You There, Vodka? It's Me, Chelsea, and like some of her other books. And this was a little more deep than those previous ones. So that was pretty good. Yeah, I was telling you I'm looking forward to a book that it will probably take months to get it. What was the book club for troublesome women?
Okay.
I'm like looking forward to that. That takes place in the 1960s with a woman who on paper kind of has it all, but she's feeling a little unfulfilled and, you know, is looking to shake things up in her life. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Have you read any Lorna Lanvick books?
I had started one, but it was in the middle of like the series because she has like the same, doesn't she have like the same character that kind of goes throughout? No,
I'm not sure. Not that I can think of. But maybe there's a few.
Okay. And I felt that I'm like, oh, I need to go back to like the first one. Yeah. And
I've enjoyed many of her books, Minnesota writer. But the one you were just talking about, about the housewife, it reminded me of, she's got a book called Angry Housewives Eating Bonbons, which is a kind of a horrible title, but once you understand like where it comes from, it makes more sense. But that is about a group of neighbors in like 1960s suburbia that, you know, go through lots of different changes, and it goes through probably a period of maybe 30 years and kind of following the lives of these women in and out of. And they have kind of a book club, but it's kind of just, you know, an excuse to get together. And I really enjoyed that book.
Yeah. I'm kind of pivoting away from books. I watched a like documentary, I guess it'd be, of My Mom Jane, which Mariska Hargitay did a dive into her mom, who was Jane Mansfield, and kind of looking at Jane's career and that. And she was very young when her mom passed.
Like 3 years old?
She was only 3.
Yeah.
But very interesting. Just I didn't realize, you know, of that. When you think of blondes at that time, you know, Marilyn Monroe, I think, is the one that kind of comes to mind first. But realizing that Jane had this massive career and She was not the dumb blonde she was often portrayed to be. She was very like smart woman, and I don't know. It was interesting. I'm like, oh, I'll have to check out some of her movies and things of that. Anyway, so that was interesting. Let us know though if you have interesting books or if you've checked out some good movies as of late. We'd love to know. I'm always looking for things.
Yeah, text us 218-326-1234. You can also give your request line suggestions. Heather Johnson hosting Headwaters here at 9 o'clock, looking for songs with yodeling. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm hoping that they're not full yodel songs. I'm hoping that they're just like...
Yeah, just a little feature.
A little feature of some yodeling. I will be waiting anxiously.
I think of two things. I think of the Ricola.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's more of just Ricola. That's not yodeling so much.
Yeah.
And then the Price is Right game with the cliffhanger, the guy climbing the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a great video on YouTube of, there was an older contestant and he started yodeling with the guy. And then they just turned off the soundtrack and just let the guy yodel while the mountain climber was going up the
thing. Making his way up. That's funny. And didn't she do some yodeling, I feel, back in the day?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. So I don't know. I would love to know. Yodel. Give us
your suggestions. 218-326-1234. One other thing you can text us about. We would love to hear some answers on our question of the week. Your favorite things to do in or on the water. Text 218-326-1234.
So this just in, Heather says she's going to have a full 20 minutes of yodeling and we will love it. The people are demanding it.
Okay.
I don't know about that, Heather, but we'll
I'm sure it will be very enjoyable. Support for KAXE comes from the IM Hotel in Grand Rapids, providing access to local attractions and outdoor activities like fishing and bike trails. Additional information at imhoteltimberlake.com.
We also receive support from the Watermark Art Center in downtown Bemidji with exhibits, classes, and handcrafted original art by regional artists found in their shop 505. The center is accessible and open to the public. watermarkartcenter.org.
You can pay nothing to get that old or damaged car towed away, even if it doesn't run. Your donation of a car, boat, or other vehicle is tax deductible. You save time and money while defending the KAXE programs that you love. Call 855-277-2346 for more details.
Looking ahead today, coming up at 1 o'clock, it looks like Kurt Randa is in for Music on the River. So, yeah, check out that. And then coming up tonight, 7 o'clock, the DJ is in for Music on the River as well.
And the Minnesota Board of Water and Soil Resources offers the Lawns to Legumes program, which aims to increase habitat for at-risk pollinators in residential settings. The deadline to apply for the 2026 season is November 30th. Find more info and apply at bluethumb.org. We're going to continue now with Morning Edition from National Public Radio.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Leila Faldil. Texas officials are criticizing federal weather forecasters after a deadly storm swept through the state over the holiday weekend. At least 82 people are dead after the historic flooding that followed. As NPR's Joe Hernandez reports, the National Weather Service says it warned the public in the days and hours before the flood.
Around the middle of last week, Texas officials were marshaling their resources to prepare for the storm. The National Weather Service was warning of pockets of heavy rain and the potential for flooding. But when the storm arrived Friday, its ferocity caught many people by surprise. The Guadalupe River rose 26 feet in just 45 minutes.
The original forecast that we received on Wednesday from the National Weather Service predicted 3 to 6 inches of rain in the Concho Valley and 4 to 8 inches of rain in the hill country.
Texas Division of Emergency Management Chief Nim Kidd said at a press conference Friday that what happened was much worse.
As many of you know, and many of you in broadcast journalism and meteorology, you can go back and look at your own forecast, and the amount of rain that fell in this specific location was never in any of those forecasts.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott said on Sunday that the weather warnings didn't communicate just how serious the threat was, especially to an area that's used to flooding.
There's the potential for flash flooding, but there's no expectation of a water wall of almost 30 feet high.
But in a statement, the National Weather Service defended its forecasting. It noted the agency held briefings for emergency officials on Thursday and issued flood watches, flood warnings, and even a flash flood emergency, which is only used in rare cases. Michael Morgan, a professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says the storm highlighted the difficulty of forecasting.
I think the Weather Service forecasts were on point, specifically targeting in locations that are going to receive the maximum rainfall is an incredibly challenging forecast problem.
Some critics also raised questions about whether job cuts to the National Weather Service by the Trump administration had made the agency's job more challenging. And Morgan noted that the administration was also planning to cut funding for two federal offices that work on improving weather forecasting.
And I think it's investments in that are really going to help mitigate future tragedies like what unfolded in Texas.
The National Weather Service announced last month that it was working to hire more than 100 employees after losing over 500 workers earlier this year. Joe Hernandez, NPR News.
Somebody who understands the factors that turn torrents of rain into a catastrophic flood is Greg Waller. He is a hydrologist at the West Gulf River Forecast Center of the National Weather Service, which means he studies the science of what happens to water when it hits the ground, and he's with us now. Greg Waller, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Michelle.
So why is part of Texas known as Flash Flood Alley?
It's one of those cases where every time we bring in a new forecaster, we tell them, this area you need to watch. It is close to a moisture source, plenty of moisture from the Gulf. It has a natural rise upslope in the Balcones Escarpment, which can provide a source of lift. The soils are very rocky, which means any rain that falls, very efficient at generating runoff. And then it's sloped with the hills by the name Hill Country. So that means any runoff occurs fast. So you have fast moving, very good runoff into the small creeks and rivers that can go from a couple of inches to a trickle up to 20 plus feet in a matter of hours, depending on the rain events.
Has this been getting worse over time?
I'm not going to say it's going to get it worse over time for the weather and the hydrology, but what I will say is, you know, it's a very popular area. So you have to add the social vulnerability of more people moving in, creating a larger vulnerable footprint. Mm-hmm. That is some of the most beautiful and scenic areas of the state of Texas, and it's popular for vacationers. So you mix in a holiday, you mix in a lot of visitors, you mix in a extreme rain event into a very sensitive area, and unfortunately, we see the results.
So we understand that in the area we're talking about, where the worst of the flooding took place, within 45 minutes, 10 to 12 inches of rain fell, and the flood water rose by 26 feet. Can you explain how that's possible?
It's volumes of water. Think of the column of atmosphere and all the rain that comes down all at once. We had ties into a couple of tropical systems. There was a Pacific system with leftover high-level moisture, Barry from the low-level system, so we had plenty of moisture in place. We had lift, and once the thunderstorms developed, they tapped into all that available moisture and very slow-moving. That's the key. These thunderstorms were very slow moving and produced a lot of rain. Rainfall rates help generate runoff as much as rainfall amounts.
So let me emphasize that you are not a spokesperson for the National Weather Service, but I just wanted to ask, is the forecasting able to predict such a thing, this kind of event?
I am a forecaster for the National Weather Service, and I will say in my career, the science is getting better. It is not perfect. We are doing our best to try to push the limits with ensemble modeling, better high-resolution modeling, but this is Mother Nature. And the difference in 15 to 20 miles in a placement of a thunderstorm, which is a good weather forecast, that could be a bad river forecast, hydrology forecast, because that could be a completely different river basin. Mm. Our science and skill is getting better, and we need to continue to strive to make it even more so.
So even with that, I think what you're telling me is that these events still are unpredictable to a certain degree?
I'm not going to say unpredictable to the point of we were familiar that there was the possibility of a heavy rain event. Mm. It's the precision that we need to work on. We knew that there would be thunderstorms. We knew there'd be locally heavy rain. It's the precision of getting that exact rainfall amount in the exact location to assist. The weather forecast offices, you know, captured that with their flash flood warnings. and flash and flood watches. But there's always room for improvement in this science.
And so then the question becomes, are systems for response able to keep up?
That's not in my field. The response, we try to provide the best forecast possible, the best information possible, so that those decision makers can make the best decision. We will be involved in the process, but the response, education, awareness, and you've got to be able to respect what Mother Nature can bring.
That's Greg Waller. He's with the West Gulf River Forecast Center of the National Weather Service. Mr. Waller, thanks so much for sharing this expertise with us.
Thank you very much.
This is NPR News.
It is 8:30. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show on KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall.
We receive support from Beltrami Electric, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative with a mission to provide safe, affordable, and reliable electric service. Beltrami Electric Cooperative, connecting communities, empowering life in northern Minnesota for more than 80 years.
We also thank Grand Rapids State Bank, committed to serving the Grand Rapids area for over 110 years. More at grsb.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Minnesota DNR reminds boaters to stay safe while enjoying water this season. Wear your life jacket, make sure kids are wearing theirs. Stay sober, let others know where you're going, and be aware of the weather.
And weather for today, chance of showers and thunderstorms mostly late this afternoon into early evening, increasing clouds throughout our day, highs near 80. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, lows 54 to 58. And then tomorrow, gradually clearing, highs 76 to 80. Slight chance for showers. And then our overnight lows tomorrow, mid to upper 50s. And looking ahead to Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs 78 to 82.
We were talking books just a little bit earlier, and we heard from Lisa, and she said that she really enjoyed Oh My Stars by Lorna Lanvick. The liner note says, a tale of love and hope, bigotry and betrayal, loss and discovery.
Yeah, I've read that one too, really liked it.
So I'm going to have to add that to my list and check it out.
Right now, it's time for special edition of the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. Unlike its neighbors, Minnesota law forbids the usage of aerial exploding fireworks unless you're a municipality or fair association with a permit and a licensed operator. But that doesn't stop trunks and backseats full of illicit products from crossing Minnesota's borders each summer. MinPost reports charges and convictions for violations of the law are rare, but they do happen. Statewide, there's only been between 40 and 90 charges a year and 20 to 60 convictions. Fireworks legalization is regularly proposed at the legislature. It made it as far as the governor's desk in 2012 before Mark Dayton vetoed it, citing opposition from the state fire marshal and public safety officials. Republican Senator Jason Rarick of Pine City authored one such bill in January. He says current laws don't stop Minnesotans from using fireworks, but they do push money out of the state. Rarick tells MinPost he plans to keep proposing legalization and says safety education campaigns could go with it, as well as options for local control. An environmental group is suing to stop construction on a tailings basin expansion near Lake Superior. The Duluth News Tribune reports Water Legacy sued the Department of Natural Resources and Cleveland Cliffs-owned North Shore Mining Co. last month. The group alleges North Shore violated the State Environmental Policy Act by allowing construction before the completion of an environmental impact statement. The Milepost 7 tailings basin near Beaver Bay is 3 miles from Lake Superior and holds back mine waste. Last year, the DNR said a more limited environmental assessment worksheet was enough for the basin's planned 650-acre expansion and dam elevation increase. But in February, the Court of Appeals ruled the DNR erred in its decision and had to reevaluate. The DNR then told North Shore it could continue construction as long as it complied with existing permits. The News Tribune says Water Legacy moved for a temporary restraining order to bar the DNR from awarding the project more approvals and the company from continuing construction. The group says the dam is 45 years old and does not meet modern safety standards. The DNR is updating bait restriction rules to match legislative changes. The new rules define what species are susceptible to viral hemorrhagic septicemia and allows the establishment of VHS-free zones. People who harvest bait to use dead or frozen may be affected. Comments are open until 4:30 p.m. Tuesday. The DNR is also seeking public input on proposed fisheries changes. The agency is considering reducing the statewide walleye limit from 6 to 4. It says this is a proactive step in maintaining quality walleye fishing. You can share your thoughts through August 15th at mndnr.gov/walleye. Find more on all of those on the DNR's website. A new skate park in Brainerd is closer than ever to completion. The Brainerd Dispatch reports the Minnesota legislature awarded $750,000 for the project at Memorial Park in Northeast Brainerd. Skating has been growing in popularity. Jake Reneker is president of the Lakes Area Skate Park Association. He says the park is a way to promote healthy recreation and an economic driver. Right now, the nearest skate park is in Crosby. The legislature awarded $4 million to 8 skate park projects, with Brainerd receiving the largest contribution. According to MinnPost, skate parks got the most general fund money of any projects, with the legislature making cuts this year that may raise some eyebrows. But MinnPost says the money was actually first appropriated in 2023, and this was more of a redirection of the funding. Brainerd is planning a 15,000-square-foot park and must spend the state dollars by 2029. The Dispatch says the Lakes Area Skate Park Association is in its final push for donations to get the last $150,000 it needs. The group will have a booth at the Crow Wing County Fair and is planning a fundraiser this fall. It says naming rights are still up for grabs, too. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
You can find the Up North Report available as a podcast. Get more details at KAXE.org or tune in for the latest edition today at 5:30 during All Things Considered here on KAXE. It is the Monday Morning Show. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignell.
You're missing some excitement outside.
Oh.
So there's somebody from the city's going around and emptying the garbages that we have by the music park here.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a squirrel that was eating out the top of the garbage and then had dipped in there, and I'm like, oh no, is he gonna get out in time?
Yeah,
but he did. Okay. He made it out. I was like, that'd be kind of some excitement there for the city worker.
Yeah,
like, all of a sudden there's a squirrel then, like,
in the garbage.
I'm like, oh no. But the squirrel was kind of cute. He was like eating on the top, and then there must have been something extra tasty inside the garbage can. There you go. That's funny. He's like sauntered off the little squirrel, but
yeah. lots of squirrels going on. Rabbits,
so many rabbits this year.
Yeah.
Like it seems to be a very prolific year for rabbits, and it's just not up here. I was in the metro a couple weeks ago at one of my friend's houses, and I was like, there are rabbits every place. And I'm like, how is it not destroying everybody's like flower beds and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
hostas, they seem to like hostas.
Yeah. And she's like, oh no, they do, and like they put out stuff to try to keep the rabbits, like,
mm-hmm. There's that real stinky stuff you can get,
yeah, on that. But I don't know, I'm like, well, that's good. I don't know when, like, the life cycle, if like we have a really good rabbit year, like, does that mean that other, you know, like wolves or whatever, is that a source of food for them? So will they then have a good season because there's an abundance of food,
right,
available,
right? Yeah, food chain
kind of things. I don't know, something you could ask Latimer of, like, if we see an uptick of.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about all the phenology things tomorrow morning on the Tuesday Morning Show. Also, tomorrow at about this time, we're going to talk about the starry stonewort.
Yes,
I can never remember.
Invasive starry stonewort.
Yes.
At 8:45 tomorrow.
With Dr. Daniel Larkin,
yep,
who will be presenting as part of Itasca Water's Practical Water Wisdom Series on Thursday at noon. So We'll hear more about that invasive plant.
And coming up, 9 o'clock, Heather Johnson is in for Headwaters. And we have, why do I blank on like the name of like, it's not the mixtape, but it's
request
the request line. And she's looking for yodel songs. And she has been threatening, can we say that, of like playing 20 minutes straight
well,
of
it
like
wasn't,
yodeling.
It was an all caps message to you and I about playing 20
minutes. 20 minutes of that, which kind of I'm taking as like a, you know, she's holding the airways ransom for yodel.
It's going to be beautiful. Support comes from the U of M Extension Forestry, hosting the Minnesota Woodland Steward Program in Itasca County to help develop a deeper understanding of forest stewardship and manage fire risk. Registration open until August 10th with a discount for Itasca County landowners. More info at My Minnesota Woods on Facebook.
The North Country Trail Association will designate Cohasset and Grand Rapids as official trail towns on Thursday, July 10th at 1:30. At the Itasca County Fairgrounds, hikes of varying lengths will follow the presentation. You can bring your own water and snacks.
Heather is saying she will stop playing the yodeling early if significant donations come in. So, you know, if you have strong feelings about yodeling songs,
yeah,
there you go. There. But I think it yodeling can mean a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of artists who have incorporated the yodel sound into their work.
Yeah. So. You know, and maybe we haven't just heard enough of it to like truly appreciate, mm-hmm. you know, the fine art of yodeling.
That's right.
And, you know, it's usually people that are amateurs that are attempting to yodel that, you know.
So if you have any great song suggestions that feature yodeling, text us 218-326-1234. We also love to hear your responses to our question of the week. What do you like to do on the water? This should be an easy question for people, and we haven't heard from anyone yet.
Yeah. Maybe it's just that there's so much to do.
There is.
On the water. Boating, canoeing, swimming, floating.
Fishing.
Oh, fishing, yeah.
Text 218-326-1234. What did you do this last weekend? It was rather hot on some of the days. And
I'm betting a lot of people got out on the water just to cool off.
Mm-hmm. Wear your sunscreen.
Yes.
I went to a parade on Friday morning, and I mostly sunscreened, but there was a few places that is like, oh, missed a spot. But it's I can hardly tell that it even happened now.
You don't have
this
the hand.
Arm
the
had
hand.
Like a weird thing right there. Uh-huh. So, but I can't see it anymore.
That's funny. Yeah, the dangers of like sunscreen, good, mm-hmm. but even application is like a must to like not have weird.
Yeah, and this was like the spray on kind. So I thought I was doing a good job, but it was like my top of one knee was very red, and then the other one had kind of like a smiley face. Like, or just a smile of a sunburn.
Oh, that's good.
On there.
Hopefully you can even it out. You'll have to strategically
place. Like I said,
place.
It's mostly it faded. It really wasn't too bad.
Okay.
I was out at a parade for probably lasted an hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a hot day.
It was very, very hot. The city of Cohasset is offering Wednesday workouts during July and August, starting at 8:30 each Wednesday morning at Tioga Beach. All ages are welcome to take a walk. That includes gentle stretching before and afterwards. You can wear comfortable clothes and shoes.
Programming on KAXE. KBXE is supported in part by the Minnesota Board on Aging's Legal Kiosks, offering no-charge assistance with housing benefits, custody, and more. Legal Kiosks, located in libraries and local trusted community spaces, connect Minnesotans with legal information and virtual meeting access. In some locations, court forms can be printed at no cost. Help is available in many languages. More online at legalkiosks.org.
We also receive support from ICTV. Stay tuned, stay connected with ICTV. You can learn more at watchictv.org.
Well, Sarah, the band Haim has a brand new album out. It's called I Quit. It's their fourth album from this trio of sisters, and I've been excited to dig into it a little bit more.
I love Haim, and the more I see the three of them together, just I love them as sisters. Mm-hmm. They're on like Seth Meyers. He and his brother have the...
Oh, the Family Trips podcast.
Yes.
And so that was fun.
They come from a musical family to where their parents used to travel around to like all-inclusive resorts, mm-hmm. and did like music and entertainment there. And so the Haim sisters were able to kind of wander around these resorts when they were there with their parents and just had some like super funny stories that they have. So just I find them delightful.
Yes. And I find that podcast delightful, Family Trips with Seth and Josh Myers.
Yes.
They have had some listener episodes lately where listeners just like have their stories, like, you know, there's maybe three or four per in an episode. I think they're doing that monthly now.
Okay.
So those are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah, different celebrity guests as well, talking about their family trips.
Yeah. Because there's some people that didn't really travel any place, or, you know, people whose it was a very integral part of like their growing up, like traveling. And
yeah.
I don't know. It kind of realizes, it makes you realize that, you know, it, the weird things that happen on the road and travel, it's kind of a universal experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've enjoyed that as well. It's been a while since I've listened to it, but.
Yeah, well, we are going to hear from Haim now. This song is called Lucky Stars. Is new music from Haim. It's called Lucky Stars. Their album that just came out is called I Quit. Hopefully they're not quitting.
No, I hope
that's not like a message. A
message that this is it. This is our last album. No, hopefully they.
We want to hear much more from Haim.
Yes.
It's the Monday morning show here on People Powered, KAXC. I'm Jennifer Barr with Sarah Bignall. It is about 11 minutes before 9 o'clock, and then we're going to hand it over to Heather Johnson for Headwaters. She'll have your slice of green cheese at 9:45, and then the request line, 10:30. Yep.
Some yodel in there.
Songs about yodeling. We're taking your request. Text 218-326-1234. Also, we're asking our question of the week. What do you like to do in the water, on the water? And we heard from Lisa, who says, my top three, floating, canoeing, and cruising on the pontoon. I like swimming, but consider that an in-the-water activity, which... Yeah. Saying on or in, either ways is good.
Good. Yep.
Anything having to do with what you like to do on or in a lake.
Yeah. And I like floating, canoeing, and cruising on a pontoon is mm-hmm. pretty fun.
Yeah.
We ran into a former classmate over the weekend, and we were discussing pontoons. And so like pontoons of like our youth had like the wimpiest engines and stuff on them. And like, we're literally just, you just cruise okay. and kind of putt along.
Mm-hmm.
But his sister was up with their pontoon that had like this massive, massive engine that he was just like, I don't even know what this is. Cause there were like tubing behind the pontoon. And he's like, just in my kid brain, like this was something that
like
was not,
does not compute does that not, you cannot pull somebody on a pontoon.
Like, it should not be comfortable, you know.
Yeah. Also, and, yeah, the older ones did not have very comfortable seating or anything.
No. And now they have like nice sun shelf, you know, where you
shades
can
see. Yeah. And just, cup holders. And
just so nice. Yeah. So that's good. I like Lisa's idea of the floating and canoeing. And although mm-hmm. canoeing kind of seems like it takes some effort.
Yeah. You don't have to go far if you don't want to.
No, I suppose you could go like in if you're on a river, you could just have like kind of the current assist you.
Yes, but then when you get to where you're going, then you need
somebody to come pick you up.
Somebody pick you up, or it gets tricky. You have to leave a vehicle at one end. You know, if you're with multiple people, then you can drive back to the beginning. Then when you get to the end, then you got to drive back and get the other vehicle.
Oh, yes.
It can be a rigmarole canoeing on a river, but it can be really nice.
Yeah,
I've been from the landing here just across from KAXC down to the Blackberry Landing before.
Okay.
That was a nice, nice paddle. You got to go by where the Prairie River enters the Mississippi. And
sure. Yeah. And I've been on that part of the, so my husband's grandparents had a property that was at that junction there where the Mississippi and Prairie River meet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have canoed from there to Blackberry, which, you know, wasn't terribly far, but
yeah,
I don't know. That was like what seems like 9 million years ago, probably 30 years ago.
Yeah, it was, let's see, probably at least 15, 16 years ago when I did it.
Because
my son was very little at the time. Like, I think it was his first canoe trip, and he kept saying, new trip. Mississippi River.
Oh.
And now he's about to enter college.
Yeah.
So it was a long time ago.
Time flies.
Yep.
Well, let us know what you like to do in or on the water. We're collecting that. Do you put together a list then, Jennifer? Do we?
Yeah, I like to do a little list, and then often with question of the week, I'll do a little web story on that, gathering some people's responses. And if you all have photos to share, those are also very helpful. You can text those in too. Yeah. 218-326-1234. Kootaska Community Action has a big few discussion. This is tomorrow at Community Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids, and the topic is defining allyship. Lunch begins at 11:30. Conversation to follow. Registration is required by emailing alicem@kootaska.org.
The Northland Arboretum in Brainerd, they have a soft grand open and fundraiser for their new bike park. That's coming up this Saturday from noon to 5. Food and beverage will be available for purchase. Plus, you can play yard games and try the trails. Protective gear is required, though, if you're riding a bike.
Let's take a look at where our temperatures are at. It's been warming up progressively throughout the morning. We've got a range of 62 in Hibbing appears to be the cool spot. 68 in Brainerd, our warm spot right now. It is 64 in Grand Rapids, 67 in Park Rapids. And Bemidji, too, 67, if I didn't already say that. And it's going to be increasing clouds as we go throughout the day. Highs near 80 and a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly late this afternoon into the early evening. And then showers and thunderstorms likely overnight, lows 54 to 58, and then gradually clearing tomorrow, highs 76 to 80, Slight chance for showers, and for Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs 78 to 82. We're going to listen to some more new music right now. We've got a song from Jamie Drake. This one's called Thread and the Spark. That's a new single from Jamie Drake called Thread and the Spark here on the Monday Morning Show.
And coming up, we have Headwaters. Your host for that is Heather Johnson. That's followed at 11 o'clock this morning. It is the World Cafe. Kurt Randa, he's in as your host for Music on the River starting at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So a lot of great programming ahead. And again, we have the request line coming up. In the 10 o'clock hour here, Heather's looking for some Yodel recommendations.
Yep, text us 218-326-1234. Chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly late this afternoon today. Increasing clouds as we move through the day. Highs near 80. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Showers and thunderstorms likely overnight. Lows in the upper 50s. And then gradually clearing tomorrow. Highs 76 to 80. Overnight lows tomorrow, mid to upper 50s. And for Wednesday, mostly sunny. Highs 78 to 82.
And this is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. You can join us at kaxe.org.